Oh, yeah. Hey, tonight I'm continuing our boundaries series on Wednesday nights. Part 5, Overcoming Delilah. And before I jump into that, let me tell you a story. There were two evil brothers that both were very rich. They attended the same church, and on the service they appeared to be very good Christians. But one of the brothers suddenly died. The remaining brother sought out the pastor and handed him a large donation and said, "I have only one condition for this check. At the funeral, you must say that my brother was a saint." The pastor agreed and deposited the check. At the funeral, the pastor said, "This was an evil and wicked man. He was a liar, a thief, and he stole and cheated many people out of their money." After going on and on for several minutes, he finally said, "But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Jesus Christ can restore your sexual purity and innocence. Jesus Christ can deliver you from any form of sexual bondage or addiction. Jesus Christ can heal your life from all the trauma and pain of past sexual experiences. Jesus Christ can set you free from porn. Jesus Christ can remove and replace all your pain and shame with his love. Tonight we're talking about being free. Okay, I'll be reading from the book of Judges tonight. This is a famous Bible story. We're going to extract some real meaning. Just hang in there with me, because I promise you tonight, someone in your world desperately needs what we're going to talk about tonight. Samson went to Gaza, Judges 16, and saw a harlot there. And he went into her. Of course, he's having sex with a harlot. Now, just look at it for a minute. Samson's wife, before they consummated their marriage, was brutally murdered. He was the victim of a horrific life trauma. He found it difficult to re-engage relationally after that. But of course, he's a healthy man and he has sexual needs. So he is now having sex without having a loving relationship, but that's going to change. When the Gazites were told Samson is here, they surrounded the place where he lay and waited for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him." Samson lay low to midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and two gate posts and pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So that was a supernatural act of strength. So Samson's gift was God gave him, through an angelic visitation, the promise of God, the Nazarite vow that he was keeping, at least partially. God gave him the gift of supernatural strength. So he's carrying something that he had no right to carry. Okay, he's got this supernatural capacity as a deliverer to Israel. Okay, so he's kind of mocking all the people. Afterward, it happened that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek. So now he's become habitually engaged in an immoral lifestyle, and he was able to kind of separate his heart from his actions. But now his emotions are becoming engaged in his physical relations with a woman. So he loved a woman of the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Delilah's name means brought down by languishing, to bring something low. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Entice him, find out where his great strength lies. By whatever means you may overpower him, that we may bind him and afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver, a king's ransom," they promised her. So it came to pass, now he's fallen in love with Delilah, even though she has an agenda. She pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. She lulled him to sleep. Now, one of the things that habitual sin does, it lulls you to a spiritual slumber. So you stop feeling convicted about doing wrong. I don't know about you. I love when God makes me feel bad. Okay? I think it's good to feel bad. I like conviction. Me likey when the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, don't do that." That's love. He's protecting me. Okay? So she lulled him to sleep and called for a man. And they began to shave off the 7 locks. So Samson told him his secret. She lulled him to sleep, called for a man. They shaved his head and they began to torment him. His strength left him. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. So, now please, Delilah just happens to be a woman, but Delilah tonight in my message is the spirit of immorality and the spirit of sexual temptation, regardless of what sex it comes to, okay? There's Mr. Delilah's and there's Mrs. Delilah's, okay? So it's this temptation to fall into sex. So she does 6 things in her story. She entices him. So she entices him. So you entice something by finding its desire and then offering something. So when I'm at the restaurant and I told Mary I'm having no dessert tonight, and then the waitress, you know, brings the dessert tray, actual specimens, and suddenly I'm enticed. What? When a desire has an opportunity. So an enticement is a temptation, and so he's tempted. She pesters him daily with her words. So I promise you this, inside of you, there's conflict whenever you're struggling with immorality. There's an internal conflict in the narrative of your soul, and there's continual battering ram of condemnation and shame coming from that sin. She pressed him, so she's putting pressure on him. The culmination is he's felt vexed. Now, it's a good thing to feel vexed about sin. Okay? It's a good thing. The most miserable people in the world are not sinners. They're backsliders. People that have walked with God, that are away from God. Totally different thing. So she's vexed him. Finally, here it comes. She lulls him to sleep. So when you're first saved and you feel bad about even speeding. Oh my gosh, I'm going 42 miles an hour in a 40 zone. I need to slow down. But if you're not careful, behavior over a period of time, your heart and mind will begin to justify it. And you'll fall asleep to its impact in your life. Now please get this. God gives us sexual boundaries, not because he's an uptight old man in the sky, but God knows what's best for us. And so the Bible is a father to his children book, the how to live your life book, the manual about living. And so the things that God says aren't just old-fashioned rules. They're eternal principles that make or break our lives when we fulfill them or break them. So that's what the Bible is. The last thing is she tormented. When his hair is being cut off, there's that, the word torments used in the King James, powerful. So he is now being tormented. So she calls for the Philistines. They come racing through him. So if you read the passage, several times in this passage, she put new ropes on him. And the Bible says Samson just flung them off like they were twine or string. He shook them off. See, God is so merciful. Everybody say, God is so merciful. So when people are engaged in a sinful season of life, God will keep trying to reach them. God will keep trying to pull them back. So his mercy endures forever. So judgment's always the last stop on the pathway of our walk with God, the last course of God. So Samson, even though he's living in sin, he still has a strength. He shakes off things. And so people are, the deception of sinful behavior is this. There is almost always no immediate consequence. You with me? Ministry. So I counsel ministers. Ministry is still going great. People don't know the pastor has a double life. People don't know the business is going great. The family's going great. So everything goes great for a while. But what they don't know is this. Like a train that's flying down the rails 60 miles an hour, if you turn off the engine and don't put on the brake, that train will coast for miles. And what people don't know, through habitual sin, especially immorality, their engine's getting turned off. And even though they're coasting through life, they're going to come to a complete stop. Okay? So the Philistines get a hold of Samson. So here's what they do. The first thing they do is gouge out his eyes. Now, the first thing Samson loses when he's bound by his sinful behavior is prophetic vision. He loses his vision. And that's the blindness. That's the consequence of his immoral bondage. His vision is gone. The second thing is they brought him down. They brought him down to Gaza. So whenever you lose vision, when hope walks out, what walks in? Depression, discouragement. So when he loses a promised expectation, listen, God wants you to believe your tomorrow is going to be better than today. God wants you to believe the best is yet to come. Whenever you stop believing that, something has blinded you to your prophetic future. Sometimes it's just discouragement. Sometimes it's a sin we haven't dealt with. So he's brought down. He is now depressed, okay? The third thing is they put him in bronze chains. Now, early in the chapter, he could have broke them apart like they were kids' toys. But now his strength is gone, and so he is bound. Now, please get this. There was a long period of time when he was engaged in immorality, when he was still free enough to function. But at a certain point, it took over, and he is now bound. See, you flirt with it long enough, and then it gets you. Then it gets you, no matter what it is, not just immorality, all kinds of sin. So the fourth thing was life became a grind. He becomes a grinder. So life becomes passionless, hopeless, visionless, depressed. He's blinded, he's bound, he's defeated, and now he's just walking around in the grind. He's blind and just pushing like an animal. Now please get this. Your life is not supposed to be an endless grind. It's supposed to be a daily adventure with Jesus Christ. And he has so many great stories for your life to tell. That's your story. So talking about, so Delilah in her relationship with Samson represents when we're engaged in an unhealthy or unbiblical sexual behavior. So just to kind of balance that off, let me read a couple more scriptures. So God's not against sex. In case you hadn't noticed, God who made all things, God who created the heavens, the earth, the planets, the galaxies, the stars, God who created the fish, the birds, the plants, that all things, animals, God made you, and God made you a sexual being. So sex isn't just this duty to procreate. God allows pleasure in it so that we enjoy it. It's for intimacy in marriage. It's not just for having kids. It's to keep a couple close their entire lives. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll read the Message version, guys. Now, getting down to the question who asked you the letter to me, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly. Can I have an amen from all the people in this room? Okay. But only within a certain context is good for a man to have a wife or a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. So that's really important because God's not against sex. He invented it. He wants you to have great enjoyment in it. But here's, sex is made for marriage. Marriage is made for sex. Okay, a couple more lines from this. Marriage is not the place to stand up. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy the wife seeking to satisfy the husband. Marriage is not to be a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. That's a great sentence. So abstaining from sex is possible for a period of time. So I always tell spiritual people, you know, Pastor, the woman says, Pastor, I'm going on a fast for a month. Have you talked to your partner? Because you can't just cut him off because Jesus told you to fast. You can't touch me. I'm fasting, seeking God. Well, If you're going to do that, he has to agree with it. Or if he's going to do that, see, it's mutuality. Okay? I'm not talking about that, but I thought I'd throw that in there. So, that's what the Bible says. In Proverbs chapter 5, here's what the Bible says. Drink water from your own cistern, your own well. Running water from your own well, should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water to the streets? No. Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. These are all metaphors for sex. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Amen, amen. And always be enraptured with her love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured with an immoral woman, embracing the arms of a seductress? Message version. Do you know the saying, drink from your own rain barrel, draw water from your own spring-fed well? It's true. Otherwise, you may one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. Your spring water is for you and you only, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your flesh-flowing fountain. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man, lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. So the Bible gives us these directions for marriage. Marriage is to be this place of passion, satisfaction, of continuity, of consistency, of faithfulness. Never take your wife for granted. Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a whore or for a dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? So Samson gets in trouble. Now, in the Old Testament, two dudes had supernatural capacities. One dude was Samson. So when they make movies about him, they always show him having huge biceps. He probably didn't have unusually big muscular features because his strength was supernatural. So he had supernatural strength. The other guy was Solomon. He had supernatural wisdom. Both men forfeited their supernatural gifts through immorality. If the wisest man that ever lived lost his standing with God, his legacy through eternity, because he had 1,000 wives and, you know, hundreds of concubines, and the strongest man that ever lived would not commit to a woman but slept with harlots and fell in love with one, he lost his strength. So it's a story. It's a warning, okay? So let's talk a little bit about these things and how they affect our lives. Pornography has become an epidemic to this generation. So we have to, now please get this, we have to. I look into the eyes of my 5 beautiful grandchildren. All of them are so vulnerable because this generation is unsafe. And I'm determined to help the generations after me overcome the snares of immorality. And so much of what's happening begins with pornography. Now, I wasn't going to talk only to men about this, but here's the statistics. Pornography is viewed by 70% men and 30% women. So women are a huge part of its practice. Pornography changes the way your brain works. So our brains have a pleasure center. It's a powerful reward component in our brain where we feel good about the things we're supposed to do. So the pleasure center, when you have a really good workout, man, your brain's saying, way to go, man. Your body might be totally exhausted, but endorphins, dopamine, you have all these chemicals because your body says that's good for you. When you taste good food, just tasting it, it's not just the taste buds to celebrate. Your brain, good food, sends signals and releases in your pleasure center all these signals, way to go. But why? Because we're supposed to eat. When you have sex, God allows your brain to release from its reward center a reward for it because you're made to be a sexual person. God made you sexual. Now, the problem is pornography is a counterfeit of sex, okay? The chemical dopamine is released as a reward in the pleasure center of our brain, just like the drug cocaine releases dopamine. So what we found out now is that pornography is as addictive as cocaine. Okay? Why? It's touching the pleasure center. It's awakening the same. Now, it used to be, because I have 2 degrees in psychology, it used to be that we thought that you couldn't have an addiction unless it was chemical. Something, it was alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, because those were chemicals you're put into your body that would affect you. But now we know people can be, people that are at tonight, someone in Vegas is going to spend their baby's milk money and diaper money on a slot machine that they can't leave because their brain finds so much stimulation in gambling, they're addicted. Gambling is an addiction. And now we know that pornography is an addiction. And concerning all these addictions that are non-chemical, it's the strongest one. It has the greatest impact. So we want our men free. You can't change the world when your soul's bound to pornography. Okay? To prevent an overload of stimulants, our brain disconnects receptors. So what happens to pornography, when people view pornography, there's stimulation in the brain. Dopamine's released. But there's always an overstimulation. So your brain releases another chemical that literally goes up there and starts undoing some of the receptors. So what happens, just like with cocaine, or just like with a drug, it takes more to have the same high. So it takes more pornography to have the same high you used to have. More intensity of the pornography, more graphic or hard porn, or more quantity also. So it just takes more, like with drugs. That's what happens in your brain. Pornography affects our brain like a drug. Your brain's made up of billions of nerves, special nerves that are called neurons. These neurons carry, like we talked about in that video, trillions of signals. So your brain is making more phone calls right now than every phone on the planet. Billions of phones. So your brain is such an amazing, fearfully made wonder. It's a miracle. So that's what your brain's doing. Your brain weighs only about 2% of your body weight, but uses 20% of your energy and oxygen. So your brain devours resources because it is such a complex entity. There's a fierce competition between brain pathways, how your mind's thinking and how it's functioning. And the unused ones are replaced. So here's what we found out. Anything you don't use, you lose. So anybody here, by your sophomore year in high school, you were fluent in Hispanic. And now you know 2 sentences. Oh my gosh, I could speak, I could talk to people. You stopped using it. And like a jungle pathway that was cleared, when you stopped walking through it, it became overgrown again. The positive thing is that anything you stop using in your mind, it goes away. So the Bible says this: don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, and experience what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here's what we know. Your mind changes your brain. The thoughts, so in cognitive behavioral therapy, here's what we found out. So if you're counseling someone and they've been through trauma and all kinds of things, you can spend years kind of going, visiting their past and walking them through things. But the Bible says this: put new stuff in. So cognitive behavioral therapy, a relatively new concept in psychology, it's a couple decades old, but it's becoming more popular, says this: introduce new thoughts, focus on those new thoughts, and they will overtake the old pathways. Okay, they will overtake the way you think about life. Okay? A neurological pathway is when our minds form a trail that becomes a road. So when a person views pornography, because of the stimulus, men are visual especially, And because God's made us to have sex. So pornography tricks the brain into thinking that that's a healthy sexual experience. So dopamine's released. Chemicals are released. That creates, of all the things a person does, pornography, we think now pornography creates the most powerful brain activity or brain pathway. It stays with people. So that pathway, the more a person views pornography, it's a trail. The more you walk on it, it becomes a road. If you keep walking, it becomes a four-lane highway. It becomes a powerful thought process. And to stop it is the same way we started it. We have to consciously, purposely, like Job said, I will look at no woman. Job said this in Job 31:1. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a young woman? So Paul told Timothy's in his 20s, most likely, maybe early 30s. He's pastoring a church now of thousands. So he tells Timothy, treat the young woman in your church like your sisters, the older woman like your mother. Now, what was Paul doing? He was saying this. Make sure you're always seeing them as family and not as potential conquests. Because all the women here have been exhausted in any kind of environment, whether work or even at church, with men who are players, and the guy's the whole time you're talking, he's looking up and down. Hey, sister. Hey, how you doing? Would you mind turning around? Yes. Thank you. Just love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you. Hey, wear that again next week, would you? Yeah, you're awesome. God bless you. So we want to be safe men that can hold our sisters in Christ here and make them feel that church is a safe place. Okay? Thank you. So our brain has a reward center. I talked about the pleasure center. That reward center releases pleasure chemicals whenever you do something healthy. Okay? That high you get then, why do I get that high? Because your brain's telling you, we want to keep doing that. We want to keep doing that. So pornography tricks the brain because it's not real sex. But it's acting like your brain can't tell the difference. Addictive substances give the brain a false signal, which activates and rewards this dopamine from the pleasure center. So when a person takes a drug, instead of working out, having food, or having sex with their married partner, they're stimulating their brain through a drug. That's called cheating. And even though it feels good at the beginning, the drug can give you high, there can be great response. Anybody here that's overcome addiction, no, it's a bad road to go down. Okay? It is a miserable road. Because you can't ever find that first high. You can't replace it. You can't re-experience it. So, porn users become desensitized through repeated overloads of dopamine. So, because they're feeding their mind so much and the stimulus is happening, the brains have to survive it. They begin to go offline. Receptors go offline. Porn happens to be fantastic at forming long-lasting pathways in the brain. In fact, porn is such a fierce competitor that hardly any other activity a human being can do can stand against the onslaught of porn in your brain. So when porn enters your brain, it enters and starts pushing everything. It starts dominating. So, for example, we found that when we're trying to help people get off porn addiction, people become anxious. They're anxious because their brain's not getting dopamine. So all kinds of things, just like an addict. They're going through withdrawals, just like an addict, because their body has become used to that encounter. The average first introduction to porn now is 11 years old. Kids, by the time a kid is 14, 98% of them have viewed porn either intentionally or by accident. A child, a teenager's brain is 2 to 4 times more powerful in their pleasure center. It's developing. So when young 14-year-old boys become addicted to pornography, it is 2 to 4 times worse than a grown man, because their brain's calibrating their future and it's taking a hold. The current, you can tell that most scientists are male by what they've discovered. One of the things they discovered is drugs that enhance male function. So Viagra and all these other drugs. So the surprising new users of those drugs are men in their 20s who have been in pornography between 3 to 10 years. What's happened is their body cannot function sexually without pornography. So when they meet a real person, they're unable to engage because their brains had developed a whole new pathway about sex. Now that breaks my heart, and it should break all of our hearts, because we have to fight for the freedom of our men. We have to fight for the freedom of our men. So almost every person that I've, I counsel people and deal with leaders mostly now, when I'm talking with them, the person gets engaged in some activity, some immoral activity, there's always, almost always, pornography is a part of it. So pastors and leaders are just like you. They're all vulnerable. They can be seduced. They can be enticed. If they're not watchful, the devil will sneak in. They can have marital troubles. They can try to comfort themselves. They like the high that pornography gives them. They're overloaded by stress. So whatever tricks people into it, pornography destroys them once it gets them. Okay? Pornography, porn kills love. It kills intimacy. And God wants us as married couples to have a beautiful, pure marital love. The wanting system of your brain, so the pleasure center has two kind of components, liking and wanting. The wanting section is when it starts craving. You have craving desires. It causes the brain to rewire itself in response to intense pleasure. So when your brain has intense pleasure, your brain says, man, we got to keep doing that, whatever that was. Okay, whether it's cocaine, heroin, or porn. And your brain says, woo. And so it becomes a high priority. More emphasis is put on it. More dopamine is released to it. And then you start craving its repetition, because your brain thinks it's doing good. That's the seduction of pornography. Repeated viewing of porn causes your brain to literally rewire itself. It triggers your brain to pump out chemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, all kinds of things, and create new nerve pathways, leading to a profound and lasting changes in your brain. But if porn pathways are not reinforced, they'll eventually disappear and can be replaced with something else. God can help you retrain your brain about sex. Porn is basically sexual junk food. When a person is looking at porn, their brain is tricked into pumping out dopamine. There's, junk food is just sugar. Your body has almost always an immediate high because the sugar is a really form of drug. Just try going off it, see what happens to your body. I've been off it for a long time. Sugar has a powerful reaction to your body. And for us as believers, Satan has crept into this generation. We've not protected our children. We've not protected people. Now young people in their 20s and 30s, millennials, think at 98%, 97%, they think pornography is benign. It doesn't hurt. It's okay. Why? They're overexposed to it. They think everything's good. They've learned, they've had so much of it, they just have accepted it. Now listen to me, moms. If you have an adolescent boy, you need to put safeguards on his computer and phone, moms and dads. And there are covenant eyes. There's now 100 good things. You have to do whatever you can to protect your son from Delilah. You can't always do it because they have friends and all kinds of friends, but you can protect what happens in your home. And whatever happens in your home, don't let this sin sneak into your house. And even if they hate you, well, my son will get mad. Let him get mad. If he can't handle it, take away his phone. It's better to have no phone than a soul that is bound by the cords of immorality. You don't want to stand someday at an altar of marriage when you know secretly that your son is a porn addict and that sweet little girl has no idea what she's about to get into. If a man ever tries to tell you that, I've heard every story under the sun, sweetheart, let's watch this porn together. It will help our marriage. That's how crazy the world is. That's like inviting strangers into your bed. Okay? It ain't going to help, baby. It's going to hurt. So, Samson, God had mercy on Samson. His hair grew back. God gave him a second chance. Now listen to me. People can change. Next month, in the month of June, I'm going to have a meeting here like a Friday. I want every man in the church to come. We're going to develop a discipleship process here to help every man that's fighting pornography. Now, listen to me. Here's what I know. It's a huge percentage of the men. Doesn't matter if they talk in tongues. They've loved God. They're under assault. So we are going to protect the men of this church. We're going to be accountable to each other. And we're going to defend our young men from falling in this snare. Do you know what I said? We're going to fight for this generation and fight for men. Because the devil is trying to neutralize the power, take the strength of men through immorality, especially through porn. That's the thing now. The woman in the Bible, her name is synonymous with all kinds of spiritual, metaphoric ideas. But her name was Jezebel. But Jezebel was a seductress. She wasn't just a queen. So she used her sex to control men. So the spirit of Jezebel, male or female, is that spirit we have to combat. Jezebel was defeated by prophets, by pure prophets. Now, you cannot conquer in the culture what you've not conquered in your own heart. And so the reason why the Lord trusts me, so there's beautiful women in our church. He trusts me to have beautiful women in the church because I'm not a player. Okay? Don't hate the player, hate the game. I'm not a player. Okay? So I'm protective about my own lifestyle, and I've got the most beautiful bodyguard in history sitting in the front right there. So she's my moral watchdog. So when it comes to moral stuff, she's more sensitive than I am. So I trust her instincts. Even when, this isn't bad. And then the shoe comes flying across the room. Change the channel, or else I'm going to change some things in this room. So she's my moral compass. That often is true in marriage. Okay? Let me ask you this, sister. If you're married tonight, maybe your husband's here, not here. Could you handle your husband saying to you, hey, I'm addicted to porn. I have a whole another life. I have a secret life. I watch it at home. It's free now. You can get it for free. I watch it on my phone. I'm watching it. Could you help guide your husband to a pathway of healing without throwing him away or giving up? It's not just that he's chosen porn. It's that porn has assaulted him with temptation. It is the perfect temptation for a man. The way our brains are wired, bingo. First hit, bang. Powerful drive. I pray for the women of this church that God will prepare you. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's someone else. But I'm going after the men in this church. And we're going to get free. Everybody. And the guys that don't come to the meeting, we're going to show up at their houses. Okay? We are going to get men free here. But we also need to get women free. So there is a devastating consequence in the life of a woman when her husband... See, women are intuitive. God made them that way. They have... It's really the Holy Spirit, but their spirits are sensitive. They pick up things. And a woman can feel for years something's not quite right. And never know because a man's hiding it. But I'm praying for everything that come out of hiding. It's not a bad thing when you get caught. I didn't hear one man say amen there. Well, maybe not to you, preacher, but to me. Woo! No, you can't get better until you want to change. So we just need this violent wake-up call to wake up out of our slumber. He was asleep. While he slept, the devil tormented him. And while men sleep, the devil's tormenting men and their families. David said this in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Now, let me close with some good news, okay? Kind of hit that kind of strong because it's really important. Okay? Porn's not okay. It's not okay. And wouldn't you like to have sexual purity and innocence again? Wouldn't you like to not see women as objects, but as loving people, sisters and mothers? Here's the good news. The Bible is so powerful. It is unlike any other book or words. The words of the Bible are living. They're animated. They're filled with God's power, filled with God's life. And when they come into your mind, there's nothing they can't conquer. So when you feed your mind the Word of God, it can overtake neural pathways, habitual thinkings that are wrong. Your mind can change. It's called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity means when you change your thoughts, your brain literally changes its construction. So thinking changes. The mind, the way you think, changes the organ, the brain. So God's given your brain this incredible potential of change. Any area of your life can change. But it changes up here before it changes out here. And when you change what's going on in here, man, you can change your behavior. That's why it does little good to tell people, stop doing something. Stop. You have to give them a way. Here's the way. Let Jesus love pain and shame. Let the Word of God reformat, rewire your mind, renew your mind. Become accountable to others. Open up to your wife. If you're not married, open up to other brothers or sisters. And say, I'm determined to live in sexual purity. I'm determined to get my innocence back. See, when God forgives you, it's not just like God saying, okay, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget. I know what you did. No, he gives us restored innocence as if we never did it. A couple of the women that followed Christ were former prostitutes. One, Jesus cast out 7 demons. She followed Jesus. She became a holy woman of God. As if that life never happened to her. Her innocence fully restored. The devil tries to keep people in a prison of destructive behavior through shame. But shame says, you can't ever get back what you've lost. Yes, you can. You can get your purity back. You can get your innocence back. You can have your mind rewired. You can have all traumatic experiences that were sexual completely lose their grip on your behavior. You can have your mind so rewired that you view women as sisters and mothers. You can have your mind rewired so that you can resist temptation when it shows up. That's the awesome news. And not only do you have the Word of God, you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, quickening you. So through the Holy Spirit, what did Paul say? No, you're not, that you're the temple. The temple of what? The Holy Ghost. He lives in you. Man, the Holy Ghost can bust the devil's head anytime he wants to. The Holy Ghost can deliver anybody from anything. Okay? But the way we stay delivered after the Holy Ghost exercises power is to renew our mind. We keep the freedom the anointing gives us by renewing our minds and creating a new pathway of thought. That's what the Bible does. I'm getting my mind right. Amen? I'm getting my mind right. And when I get my mind right, oh man, everything gets right. You're called to be a history maker, a world shaker. You're called to have, listen to me, man, we're not called to have two lives. It is so tremendously stressful to have a secret life. Y'all with me? I don't have a secret life. I got a wonderful wife. And my wife covers me. She protects me. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thanks, church, for letting me talk to you on this topic. I posted it on Facebook so people would know not to come. That's the truth. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Or I can't believe he's talking about porn at church. I'm only talking about church because it's in the life of people. I love this church. I love you. And this summer, we're going to war for the men of our church. We're going to war. But Lord, we're so grateful for your kindness, your unbelievable loving kindness, your patience with us. It doesn't matter if we mess up 1,000 times, you're always there to pick us up. It's just amazing. And so I'm going to pray for three things. The first thing I want to pray for is when I mentioned this about shame. Shame is the causation, it's the effect of either sinful or traumatic experiences. God's forgiveness is so powerful. It removes the debt of sin, but it heals the wound it caused. And I declare over every person that's from no one looking around, if you say, Pastor, I've been battling shame or condemnation, I've been feeling traumatized or broken because of things in my sexual history. I'm just going to say a prayer and the Holy Ghost is going to hit you like he loves to. If that's you, say, Pastor, please pray for me. Would you hold up your hand? Just keep it up for a moment. No one's looking around. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to be healed of shame. I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty, Lord. Now, everybody pray with me. Lord, we pray for our friends now. And we speak the great name of Jesus, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And we loosen healing to the broken hearts. We undo the ropes of trauma and we release them from the prison of shame in Christ's name. And I declare over you by the word of the Lord, you're coming out of the prison of shame. The door is open. Just get up and come out. Jesus is standing there grinning from ear to ear. The door is swung open. He's reaching out in his hands. Hey, come, come, let's walk out of here. We're leaving our shame behind us. We're leaving our shame, and Jesus is healing it. Number two, no one's looking around. I'm going to get more in depth with this, with the men. But anyone here that's been battling any kind of sexual behavior or addiction, You don't have to wait till next month to get free. Be free tonight. I don't want anyone looking around, please. But if you say, Pastor, tonight I'm asking Jesus to set me free from something that's been tormenting me, something that's had a grip on me. If that's you, would you just please raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. So, Lord, I pray for my friends now. And we declare by the name of Jesus that this is their freedom season. That this is their news. Oh, Samson's hair grew back. This is their comeback season. This is their deliverance season. This is their healing season. We break the lie that says they can't be free. And God, I bind the power of deception and we loosen the power of the Holy Spirit to flood into their minds, to flood into their bodies, to change their chemistry. We loosen God's word to fulfill its potential, to create a whole new pathway of life, a whole new thought, way of thinking. God, we declare freedom in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, look up here for a minute. Many of you, how many of you have the Lord's already helped you overcome things I'm talking about tonight? So you really have to help me, because we're going to help a couple thousand people in these next couple weeks. We're going to help a lot of people. And what people need, listen to me, Jesus stood over a woman who was naked, who was dragged, kicking and screaming from the bed of adultery. They put a sheet over her. And she was as guilty as you could be. Jesus chased everybody away. And then he said, "Precious daughter, I have no condemnation for you." When people are trying to get out of bondage, there must be loving, mature people that say, "You can make it out of there." Have you ever told your story to someone and the moment you told it, you felt like they started judging you? Man, I shouldn't have told you that stuff. Thanks for your encouragement, Bob. Thanks for your encouragement. So, we want to be, CFTN is already a safe place, okay? But we want to be so engaged in this that when someone opens up, we don't act surprised. We have no shame for them. We say, "Man, you're in the right house to be free. You're in the right house to be free." Because there's all kinds of things on this journey I'm talking about. So I didn't get into any kind of graphic expressions of what I talked about. But man, there's stuff there. And you can't judge someone when they're trying to get free. You can't love them and judge them at the same time. Amen. I need a big shirt, t-shirt that says "Porn Free" in Jesus' name. Porn free. Porn free. As free as the dan. Okay. And I promise you, men and young men, the big assault now is on young people. Because the ungodliness of the culture no longer shames them, or they say, "Oh, that's okay. It's just normal." It's not normal. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your relationships. It'll take control. And like Samson, cost you a lot of stuff. So Lord, use this. If you say, "Pastor, I'm available for God to use me." Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's, because we're going to start praying. I'm going to have you start praying for all the men in your world. And women too, but it's mostly men on the addicted part of it. We're going to start praying, "God, bring them to me. Show me what they're battling so I can help them." Because we're going to get our brothers, our fathers, our nephews, our uncles free. If you say, "Pastor, I want God to use me to help someone to be set free," just raise your hand and say, "Lord, you can use me. Lord, you can use me. Use me, Lord." It's just like with any addictive deliverance. There's no magic to it. They just got to walk with God, put God's word in. They have to become accountable. They need someone to stand with them when they have a temporary fall. get to keep supporting. You can make it out of that jungle in Christ's name. Hey, thanks for listening to me. Would you stand your feet tonight? Hey, prayer team, would you please join me down front, prayer team? Here's what Jesus said. He said, man, when I set people free, they're really, really free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a double emphasis, free, free. Jesus sets us free, free. He gives us grace, grace. He gives us love, love. And man, when his freedom is so powerful, nothing can pull us back into bondage. Hey, tonight as I close, we're all done. And if you need prayer for any reason, listen, if you feel tonight that, you know, you're ready to deal with some stuff, it'd be best for men to talk with men and women to women if it has anything to do with my message. But man, if you're a pastor, I feel like the Lord really is convicting me, or I feel like tonight I'm ready to take a big step. We'd love to pray for you. And now everybody's afraid to come to the altar. If you have a physical need, if you're hurting your body, now listen to me. I was literally in bed all day, sick. I knew it would be a great night today, but how hard the devil was hitting me physically. So between the Holy Ghost and Mary, I got here tonight. But I knew it was all spiritual warfare. I absolutely knew it. But if you're battling something physical, we would really be honored to pray for you, because, man, every week we see miracles of healings here. Unbelievable stuff. Wonderful. If you say, Pastor, now listen to me, ladies. If you've lost a marriage because of this, or you have a son or people, maybe God, the Holy Spirit will start showing you, you know, some of the real things that have been going on in their life. We would love to pray with you for the deliverance of all the men in your world and anybody else. If you're here tonight, if you've never made the decision to receive God's love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, the Bible says God so loved the world, He gave us Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that whoever in the world would receive Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is here and He's knocking on your door. If you want prayer for any of those reasons or anything else, would you please join us down front? The rest of us, just for 90 more seconds. Come on. Every part of my life, world.
Every part of my world.
This heart that is now yours.
This heart that is
Come on.
Now yours.
He loves to hear us. You can have it all, Lord. Say that prayer to Him.
You can have it all, Lord.
He likes that. He likes that. Every part.
Every part of my world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray for this awesome couple. You know, the Lord is very proud of you, sir. I saw two times. One was a accident. The other was an event where death tried to take you. And both times, Jesus just jumped down and said, nope, nope, nope. He's mine, He's mine, He's mine. You're a miracle man. And the Lord's proud of the way you've contested to overcome injustice and unfair things in your history. And this is the amazing thing. You've broken through, especially these last 3.5 years, you've broken through some powerful barriers the enemy had around your whole family. And now your sons, your brothers, everybody's coming out. God's freeing the men of your family because of you. Self-destructive behaviors, all kinds of attacks and assaults are going to be disrupted and removed. And God's going to make you a shiny, like a great big huge trophy. That's who you are to God. While you're here in this town or going west, wherever you end up going, on this trip, good news is coming somewhere back home for you guys. I declare over the realm of property and business, the devil has to pay you back for everything he's taken from you. 7 times in Christ's name. I loosen property, and I loosen the restoration of miracles in Christ's name. Sister, the Lord's very proud of you for this regard. Here's what the Lord says to you. The devil can't believe, he can't believe you made it. He can't believe you made it out. It was like a house that collapsed, and everyone said no one could survive that, but you walked out. So God, by his infinite love and mercy, has preserved you from very intense difficulties. There is in your family lineage spirituality. This is a really cool thing. And there's a prophetic gift over your family. And others in other generations, they didn't know what to do with it. They maybe got off into some unhealthy spiritual practices. But God's anointed you to be the prophetic princess in this arena. And the Lord says, anything you ask me, I'm going to give you. You start saying the things I burn in your soul, because there's a prophetic fire going to come out of your words that's going to set broken people free. God, thank you for this couple. Bless them in every way. In the name of Christ Jesus. The one who looks like you, the younger one who looks like you, God's visiting these next 6 months in Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. One more time. Every part of my life, my world, every part. This heart that is now yours. This heart. Come on, sing it one more time. You can have it all, Lord. He loves to hear you sing it. Every part of my world.
Every part of my world. Take this life and bring on.
This heart that is. Sure love you. Sunday's going to be awesome in here, I promise. Bring somebody with you to Sunday. Have a marvelous, glorious, spectacular rest of your week. God bless you. Thank you.
together from the depths of our heart tonight.
Spirit, I've got fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all. Spirit of the Lord is here.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with soul of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen.